Right. And so that's what she was trying to come across. But this, okay, all right. I can't cuss on this show. But anyway, this knucklehead. Okay, this, and you know, I get, and we talked about this before, right? And sometimes, you know, you just want to just come out with it, right? But I know
just
I can't.
Want to shake him.
Right. He had the nerve to say that they weren't smart enough otherwise.
Oh,
I said, what? Now check out him. He dropped out of junior, out of junior college. He dropped out, or he didn't even finish what community college. And he had the nerve to disparage these ladies like this. Folks, this is what I'm talking about. If you listen to what I'm saying, and that's why I said what I said earlier, Dr. Sim, is that the press in so many ways and so many times, and with these social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, whatever it is, these people get a chance to get on and spur this garbage. And so then you have some people that will believe this. This is the issue.
You'd rather believe a lie than the truth. That's the key.
Come on now. Come on, Dr. Sam.
Well, and it's not just that. You can't tell me they aren't smart enough, they weren't capable enough to get into an Ivy League school, but Donald Trump was.
Yeah.
And
right?
George really? Bush was.
Yeah, really?
Okay, that part.
Uh-huh.
Don't. Y'all almost made me say something. But, I mean, you cannot. You cannot tell me that it's a matter of intelligence, especially now that places like Harvard, and I know this because they've been trying to recruit my son, aren't even looking at ACT scores and SAT scores because they're admitting the truth that, okay, no, that's just one final way to root people out, one final haze, and it doesn't have anything to do with intelligence. And they are looking more at the grades of
that's
the
it.
Person when they were in school. It's a totally, totally different thing to say that somebody isn't smart enough to get in. Well, what's the GPA of the person? Because, okay,
right.
I can agree with you, you know, if somebody with a 2.1 is trying to get into Harvard, or matter of fact, any college
and I'm okay with that.
You know, we might need to look into welding or, you know, something like
right.
that. You know, we might need to start looking at a trade school if you aren't even putting in any work. You know what I'm saying?
No question about it.
But to say that they weren't smart enough, no, there's a big difference between intelligence and, well, let's just be honest, socioeconomics. A lot of people can afford to pay if I'm not mistaken, last week I heard people can expect to pay about $90,000 per
Good
year to
Lord.
Go to Harvard. A lot of people who cannot afford to pay that price have some shade of brown colored skin.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, there are a lot of poor white people who can't go either. But the majority of the people at that school, guess what color they are? They're white.
Yeah.
And it's because they can't afford
or Asian.
It.
Or Asian, yeah.
The
that's
people
what I was gonna
who,
say, Asian.
That's another thing. You have a lot of people from abroad who
yes.
get to go to that school. Mm-hmm. That's one of the ways,
and
one
Africans
of the many ways that they yeah. keep it, quote unquote, diverse. It wasn't because it was so many black people getting in, but you have people from Arab nations, you have Asian people, lots of different people from various backgrounds have been going, getting into places like Harvard. It wasn't just us. They like to make it about us when
right.
a black person gets in, and then this person, like for instance, the Asian people who let the white people use them to bring this case, in my opinion, that's my personal opinion.
And that's okay.
It's another divide and conquer strategy. Because if they keep us hating one another, black people hating Native Americans or Hispanics or Asian people, then that just makes it a whole lot easier for those who are on one accord and want that homogenous society. It makes it a whole lot easier for them to reach their goals.
And isn't it a lot? You see, think about this. If they want to play this game, which they are already playing, and in some cases successfully among some of their constituents, then they can't pick on every non-white person. They need to pick one. They need to pick one, okay?
Just one.
Y'all know, oh, that's all they need. I mean, you think about what I'm saying is, if they attacked every group, then it dilutes their objective. And if you can wrap that. But the thing about it is, you're exactly right. And all this false narrative, like I said, this character couldn't hold a pen to either one of those ladies. He can't carry their water.
Right.
Matter of fact,
they probably. But isn't that a fear?
Is a fear.
Now, the word comes to mind, you've been fed a hill of beans for so long, the supremacy, being supreme, being above anybody else, being the outstanding, most recognized, supposedly. And I really think fear plays a lot of going on as far as certain cultures. I have to reflect on the councilman here in Hemet. He stands up for critical race theory. Mm-hmm. They had a big meeting, William, here. And we still have some sick white brothers and sisters, let's be real. Mm-hmm. Just like we have some sick black brothers and sisters. It is what it is.
There's no question about
it.
And
so they were at this meeting, and he's a pastor, Afro-American. And he was getting out in the community, you know, doing more than some of them charlatans sitting around there sucking on a toothpick, talking about I'm holding a seat. Okay, and you know, I'm gonna call a spade, you're not doing nothing. He's got in with the police department. He's getting the youth together with the police and so that they can stop the crime. The crime in the city has gone down because he's going out and he's shaking hands with Hispanic. It doesn't matter who it is, okay? But when they had this meeting, this board meeting, cabinet meeting, and they had some of the students there who were the Afro-American students as well as white students. But because the Afro-American girl spoke up, there was a white gentleman old enough to be her father, okay, getting in her face and was getting ready to punch her out.
What?
And this councilman, his name is Pastor Hawkins, stepped in between them and stopped him from hitting her. He said, "You're talking to a child. A child has a right to understand what her history is." And that was the whole reason for the meeting. And she was sharing. She says, "Why can't we know?" And some of the folks were sitting in there again, our sick brothers and sisters saying, "Go back from where you came from." Well, my thing is, I was born here, and she said, right here in America. So where am I going? Okay.
Exactly.
So my thing is that because of people's, in essence and thought of supremacy. And another thing, they are afraid that people will find out some of their forefathers' ill behavior. And so they're in this position that the things that have gone on years and years ago, they're trying to paint a picture that it did not actually happen. In other words, they're making us a liar through history. And so that's why they do not want to bring this in schools. And that's why you have it being voted against, and then you have some are voting for it. But my thing is, William, is like they'll bring everything else in to degrade, to degrade. And that's not right. When you said something about that, you know, we have established businesses, we have, you know, but they're only going to let you get so far now. I don't care how much you establish, because look at Chicago. They tried to burn Chicago down. Why? If we look at the history, what? They had businesses, right? They had bankings, right? They're only going to let you get so far. That is another supremacy move. Nobody has that right to do that, because here's what the kicker is, the ignorant part of it is. When I'm being successful, you're going to be successful. You hear
me? Preach.
When America, when those in the melting pot are getting together, and so the Japanese has their craft, and the Asians have theirs, and the Mexicans, I love their food. I mean, they have their craft, and people are gifted. If everybody would just hang on in there,
come
and
together,
just put it in the melting pot, this United States would be off the chart. But we have so many, we have a culture that's trying to be supreme, and a lot of them have stole what they got. I'm going to be real with this across the table.
And then the capitalists.
A lot of them have stole, and yes, and they're capitalizing on somebody else's gift.
That's right.
And collecting money for it and getting the credit. Just like during the pandemic, and a good illustration, this Afro-American woman who was kind of being overwhelmed with the goings on during the COVID. So what she did, she utilized that time, and she cooked to work out her frustrations. Well, she put it in a book. Okay. Let me tell you what happened with her when she went to publish it on Amazon. And this is a true statement. Three, Caucasian ladies took her book and put their name on it.
I heard about that.
Yes, and they refused to give it back to her. It was a proven fact. So I don't know where she is in the legal process with that or not, but that's not right. And a lot of, if you look at history, history will tell you everything. The things that many of our forefathers and our uncles and our aunt had created and invented, they had a bad time getting patent. A lot of them still aren't patent today, okay? And that's why people are able to take that and take it and have, take credit for it. And so these are some of the things. And when I was talking about, the racism, it's still alive and well because they do not want you to know. The only thing I can decipher, whether it be in your home, whether it be in the church, they don't want you to know your value, and that's demonic. They want to decrease your value in society as a person who you are. Just like, spreading the seed, with, like you said, Anne, with a lighter complexion, a darker complexion. They want to make you, as a darker complexion, less valuable.
Right,
We will push a lighter complexion over than the darker complexion, and your giftings and talents could be much more far advanced, okay?
Right.
But they will look over you just for that cause, and guess what? You would get paid less, too.
Of course.
And it is what it is. The facts is on the table, folks, and we're not talking racism, we're not talking hatred here. Because like I said, I don't hate anybody, but I hate the deeds that are presented and why they're presented, why they're promoted. Some pastors is that same way with their crazy self. Some of them,
right.
Like I said, they're slew foot and they are prejudiced within the church. Yeah, they are.
The head of the Ku Klux Klan has a church.
You better
say really? I'm
preaching the gospel and hanging people on trees. Come on now.
Yeah.
Well, see, what it is.
Dr. Sims and you and Dr. Demery and the rest of you guys might need to pray for me because, yeah, I hate some folks.
You have a good reason for not liking those people, do you not?
Yes, I do. Mike and I talked about this before. Because if you have somebody that, and I don't care who you are, we're gonna take race, we're gonna take color, we're gonna take religion, we're gonna take everything out of this. If you are somebody out there that's gonna harm, an elderly person, or a woman, or a child, I'm hate you. So y'all pray for me. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Okay, all right.
You need Jesus.
Guess what?
You can hate the sin, but not the person.
Why not,
William? Because God said so.
Did Jesus hate?
Love your neighbor. He hated sin.
Okay. You got sin. Hold on 1 second. You got sin, which is the word, but somebody had to commit that sin. So how are you going to separate the two?
That's why Jesus came to save us from our raggedy sin.
Oh, well, save me. Cause I'm going to need I'm going to need a whole lot of help. I hate him.
You're going to
have to let the Holy Spirit help.
That's what we used to call ostrich theology. So be careful how you saying that now. You don't want to stick your head in a hole and let the world pass you by.
I got you. Okay, I got you on that. All right, but anyway, let's do this. All right. Okay. I've got something I got to play for you guys, okay? All right. Check this out. Let's see if I can get this
work. When you say I'm anti-woke, when you talk about wokeness, you're saying I'm anti-black and I don't want black people to speak up for themselves. I don't want equality and justice for black folks. You should be on the side of folks who are woke because we're saying no more oppression against our community. Unless you are saying I'm racist, white supremacist, and I'm bigoted, stop talking about wokeness. And you can't tell me that I'm wrong because I'm from the very movement where this came about. Don't let a fascist tell you what being woke means.
Amen.
Okay.
Watch this.
So it really comes down to this question of what woke is. And I do think that people define it in different ways. So, Harold, I wanted to ask you first, what do you think woke is, and is she defining it correctly?
So I disagree with the congresswoman for a couple of reasons. First, I have no clue what woke is.
I'm going to stop it right there. I'm going to stop it right there.
It,
this clown said he has no clue.
That Republicans talk about people being woke. Democrats think of everything as toxic, and then they want to cancel it. I don't even know how to define all of those things. Two, just because you disagree with me on an issue doesn't make you racist.
I think
we don't even know what it means.
Some of our politics and some of the political conversations we have, especially as people get further and further away from one another, depending on the side of the aisle they sit on, that race quickly, almost reflexively gets invoked whenever there's a political conversation. So I don't accept that. Three, I think the universal truth that has to be embraced and has to be talked about more is that we're all part of a human race here. Okay, so, and we can have differing opinions, be it climate change. We can have differing opinions, be it how we educate kids. Right, we can have different opinions and likely should about health care and how we pay our bills as a country.
Let me see if I can stop this. Hold on.
We've got to understand that we're not going to get to solutions if we keep automatically, reflexively invoking race all the time when it has no bearing or no relevance to what we're talking. So the congresswoman, I don't know, but I disagree with her.
It's going to be an issue in this.
Okay. All right. Let's get back. Like I said, this clown has no idea what woke means. Now, think about what he said in the beginning. I disagree with the congresswoman. I disagree with what she's saying, her definition of woke. Mm. And he went on to say, I have no idea what it means. And then they go on to say that there are different definitions. Now, the last time I checked, when last time I saw my dictionary, there is a few definitions of whatever we talk about. Okay? Mm-hmm. And they are throwing this thing around, woke this, woke that, woke this, woke that. And I'm going to just give you a simple definition. That's being aware of injustices that goes on in society. And so if you don't want to be woke, then you want to be stupid.
Well, William, they don't want, listen, they trying to play stupid, but let me tell you what I saw in his face. He's agitated. Let me tell you why he's agitated. Because people are becoming more and more aware of what's really going on.
That's the point.
It can no longer be hidden. That means you're awakened out of sleep. You're becoming aware of your surroundings.
Come on.
You're not living in an ignorant world. You'll be facing the actual facts of what things has happened. And so when that happens, it makes some people so very uncomfortable because now they are making this word woke to be something horrible. Okay. We on the radio, when the word nigger is worse than woke. Come on now. Okay. So I'm not like I said, but they'll use that word. That will depict me, but when the dictionary was first written about that word, it meant somebody who acts out of character, but they changed it. Okay. Mm. You see, they go and change stuff when it suits their fancy. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's what it meant. It meant somebody acting out of character, out through ignorance, but they changed it to meet the black culture. And so my thing is, we're getting back to woke. When I looked at this man, they are disturbed by this. There's no reason to be disturbed. I think everybody, if they had some sense, they would say, well, everybody should be aware of what's going on.
That's
this
right.
This would make this such a better place if we all get it together and lay down our differences and let's come together and build this United States of America. But they're so busy trying to keep people in the dark, trying to make people feel bad because you are aware of what's going on. Your senses are tuned in. You can no longer fool people like you did in the past. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats, the Republicans, y'all, you know how I feel about both them because they got some ill will in all both them parties. Okay. Mm-hmm. I call them the Bloods and the Crips of the White House. It is what it is. Okay. It is what it is. Okay. It is
the
what
Bloods
it is.
And
okay?
The Crips.
Oh, the
wow.
Blue and Red. I mean, LA don't have
West
nothing
side.
The Bloods and
oh
the
my God.
West side, east side.
Oh my God.
Okay. It is what it is.
You know, it's ironic, side. Dr. Sims, ironic. The Bloods.
So
the Bloods are red, so that must be the Republicans. The Crips are blue, so that must be the Democrats.
The Democrats.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
If this is the narrative, We're going to have a conversation about this both sides thing. I got something to say about that aside, but that is funny. The Bloods and the Crip. Let's go around.
Can I throw in a perspective there?
Yeah. Let's start with you, Mike.
Let me throw in a,
Hold on, Mike. I always
try to look at things from both angles. I always really try to be able to argue it both directions. So here's my argument on woke. Everything you guys are saying about being aware, knowing reality versus false narratives, knowing the truth versus the lies, being awoke, fully awoke, and understanding reality. That's one version of woke. The other version of woke, which no one's, well, I guess they're kind of talking about it, is when you, in order for me to be properly woke, I have to accept drag shows in grade schools.
No, that's not what it means at all.
But I mean, that's, but it's also interpreted that way.
Well, see, this is it, Mike. There's only one interpretation of it, though. Look it up in the dictionary. No, I'm serious about this.
I'm not disagreeing with your dictionary, or all the panel here. I'm not disagreeing with being aware and being awoke, but other people on the evil side of things say you need to be woke in that you have to accept these things like Dylan Mulvaney and Bud Light and all this stuff. And he's a caricature of himself. But you're telling me that for me to be properly woke, I have to accept drag shows and I have to accept Dylan Mulvaney acting a fool. That's the other version of woke. And like Ann, I think, was just talking about, that the term nigger was used in originally meant one thing, but it's morphed and been bastardized into another meaning. So a word can have more than one meaning, I guess, is my point.
Well, no, you have a valid point there, yes. But what I'm saying is, these people have weaponized that word into a negative. And if you look it up in a dictionary, the definition of woke is being so aware of injustices. So, but what happened now?
And I don't disagree with that.
Okay. Now, but what I'm saying is, in my opinion, woke doesn't mean that I have to accept everything that's coming across. You got the drag shows and whatever it is. That's a whole different deal.
That's my point.
Okay. And then, drag shows for children. No, absolutely. Whatever. No. My definition
of. But to tell me I'm not woke because I won't accept that?
No, that is wrong. No, that is wrong. I agree with you on that, but that's not what woke means. People have bastardized the word and say they've distorted it, okay, so that it will be counterproductive for the people who really want people to pay attention to what's actually happened. Pay attention to the injustices, the racism, the bigotry, the greed that's going on. That's what it really, really means.
That's the good side of the
word. That's the only side. People have changed the word. You can't change it. Okay? You can't change a dog into a cat. Okay?
You can change perception of that word.
You can, but then does that make it right?
I'm just saying, look at all sides here.
Well, the only side I'm looking at is what the word actually means. Now, if you want to expose drag shows, or not you personally, but if you want to do anything else, well, come up with your own word. Come up with what it really means. Because see, what happens is it's been intentionally distorted.
I agree. I have a dictionary from
what does it say?
College dictionary says someone who is woke is very aware of social and political unfairness.
That's right.
So this is what's going. This is what they don't want us to be.
That's
and also going to a greater definition. One who's awakened out of sleep. One who's become aware.
Mm-hmm.
One who was not lethargic to reality. I read that before when I talked about that.
That's because
you're becoming aware, your sense of consciousness is aware of your surroundings. We have been brainwashed to sleep, okay? Not to see things as it is. Now they want to change it because it's become offensive to them. Now we're able to see how distasteful they have been down through years. And they do not want history to be defined. And so therefore, this definition, Collins wrote this, okay? That's what I said. You put it in the dictionary and now you want to change it.
That's
okay?
My point.
Because now it's making you aware of social and political unfairness. And now people are able, because they are aware, because being woke, you're just aware of your surroundings. How dare I go down the street and knowing somebody's sitting out there with a gun ready to blow my legs off? I'm aware because I've been made aware. I've been given information to let me know. That's all it is. You're getting information to know what is transpiring. So you have the conscious choice to make the decision whether you want to believe it, whether you want to walk away from it, or walk to it.
Absolutely.
It is what it is, folks.
Absolutely.
These are people who claim to be Christians. So
that part.
They need to understand is this is actually a Christian principle, and I'll explain to you how it's a Christian principle.
Oh, come on,
the Bible
down.
Says, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." In other words, if you know something, if you have the awareness, as Dr. Sims defined, you can avoid being destroyed by that thing. And when you are teaching in American schools, what really happened in terms of racism in America, in terms of slavery in America, and how that system is ingrained in every fabric of this culture, then guess what? It's not just Black people who are warring against that to make this a better place, but this generation that is being taught the truth is changing too. So now you've got what? You've got a society that is becoming what? More united. You got white kids who love rap more than Black kids do, and Black kids who love the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC more than white kids do. You know what I'm saying? You have a culture that is blending to the point where we're not necessarily, you may say I have African American heritage or I'm Blasian or whatever the case may be, but we are so blended that we are just American, and we are getting one culture that the culture that we are supposed to become Americans, period. And that frightens the crap out of them. So if they are controlling the knowledge the way that they were in slavery, because you couldn't, it was against the law to teach a slave to read. So the person who taught you to read was in trouble, and the slave that could read was of no use anymore. So guess what? That was a problem too. And we can't use this one because now you got sense. You can read.
Educated.
The ones who could read did stuff like, I don't know, write letters saying my master sent me to do so and so and left. got free because why? They could read. Something so simple as that is a threat to the powers that be. That's the difference.
Yes,
it's
right.
It's simply a Christian principle, and our country has shown us how that principle plays out when you deny knowledge to a whole generation of people.
Okay, we're going to go around the rotation real quick because there is another clip I want to play for you guys, but I want to go to Brother Tisdale, then Mike, and then Dr. Demery.
A lot of everything that's been said right here, I listened to all of it, and Mike was talking about the evil and the good, because we should be righteous judges over many things. Unrighteous judgment is counterproductive to the development of us all. And it doesn't help when you have unrighteous judgment, William, when you take on the position that you don't hate like the other person. That is not the position of a true believer. It's a world position. It doesn't, you know, the only thing that can conquer a lot of the things that we're discussing here is having love in your heart.
Right.
That's what's missing.
Mm-hmm.
And will it ever be established? It's kind of hard to see it. It can be established in you or me, those that who truly understand and believe. That's as much as I can say right now.
Basically, what you just said is, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, bringing every thought into bringing every thought into, what is it, y'all? Help me. Captivity to the obedience of Christ and being indeed ready to punish all disobedience once your obedience is fulfilled. See, the fake Christians don't like that last one because that means that you have to do something first. You got to obey. So they'll never say that. But being ready to punish all disobedience once your obedience is fulfilled. They are disobedient to God. They have no love in their hearts. Look, this is the litmus test. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, that's patience, fun, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. If you look at somebody who say they got, I don't know, 6-7 years of Christianity under their belt, the tree, the fruit, so to speak, that the Bible says they should have, should show you these things to some degree. I'm not saying that the fruit has to be perfectly right, but you ought to have this to some degree. But if you're supposed to have love, first of all, and all I hear coming out of your mouth is hate, and your actions are full of hate. If you are supposed to be full of peace, and yet you're talking about killing people, you're talking about overturning a whole government, you're talking about hanging the vice president of the United States of America, you're talking about keeping kids away from their parents because you don't want them to come to this country in the first place, so this way they'll want to stay away. Come on, folks. You have no kindness, no gentleness, no goodness. All these things are fruit of the Holy Spirit, but yet the Marjorie Taylor Greens of the world are saying nothing but hateful things every time they open their mouths. You cannot tell me that you are a Christian, because the test that God has given me so that I can tell my brothers and sisters, show me that you just full of sour grapes. I don't see that's no right. Holy Spirit fruit on your tree. I'm sorry. Yeah. Anyway, Reverend Dimmer, you can tell me if I'm wrong.
If I can say this real close, you guys, I encourage each of us, read 2 Peter 1-11. Just read that. And each of those things are mixed with brotherly kindness. Just
right,
like the same.
Right.
When that's right. Mixed, we got a problem. Go ahead, Reverend
Emery.
Is it my turn or is it Mike's turn?
It's your turn, sir.
Okay, I just want to make a quick comment. I just finished a book.
Turn your mic around so we can hear you better.
Okay, how about now? Is that better?
Good.
Better.
Much better.
I'm finishing a book right now called White Backlash. It's written by non-people of color. And they're talking about white backlash. They're talking about immigration, race, and American politics.
Mm.
And one of the chapters in the book talks about that term that I just mentioned a while ago, not criticizing William, but just getting him to realize what I was talking about ostrich theology. And that's where a lot of these, and I know I'm on them and I'm hard on them, like Ann was, I mean, exactly describing them, the Christian nationalists, to me, not Christians at all.
Nope.
They're the devil. They are shepherds of the devil.
Amen.
The point that I'm trying to make here is that when you realize, going back to the beginning of our discussion, we first started when Danny was talking about how he got inspired to write the song, how Ann just spoke a couple of weeks ago at an event. And any Christian theologian will tell you this. And you don't have to be a theologian. You just have to be a child of God. This is called hierarchy in theology. And what that term talks about is when you are in the Spirit. Danny was in the Spirit when he was writing that song. And when you spoke a couple of weeks ago, you were in the Spirit. John said in the book of Revelation, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And when you are in the Spirit, artificial intelligence, racism, hatred, the devil cannot touch you.
Amen.
No weapon formed.
Amen.
You are in the Spirit of God, and you are speaking through God as a vehicle, as a instrument, as a sounding board for the Lord.
Right.
And that's what happened And that's what's happening when those people who rise above all this mess, just like in the book that that nut that was in prison, it just died, wrote the book Helter Skelter. Mm-hmm. He tried to cause a race war.
Yep.
And he was being used by Satan, and Satan's using the same tactics that he used 2,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago. He's using the same tactics today.
Amen.
And like Danny was saying, it's so true. And until we get to the point where we love one another, we embrace one another, accept our differences, accept that, hey, you know, we will agree to disagree in Christian love, but yet respect one another, because there's no respect. There's no credence where we get together and say, well, you know what, brother? We're at two different points of understanding, but right. I respect you in your opinion, instead of spewing hate, like Ann said, Marjorie Taylor Greene and all these other knuckleheads.
Mm-hmm.
That is not what Christianity is all about.
Amen. Mike, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm good. You guys are doing wonderful.
Can I read a couple of scriptures, Ann? We talked right about being awake. And the Bible says, I don't know if you quoted this scripture, says, I will not have you ignorant concerning these things.
Preach.
And so whatever is coming across, God wants the people of God, his children, and I don't mean just going to a gathering place we call the houses of prayer. He wants us to come out of sleep.
Right.
Because when you're asleep, you're not focused on, you don't realize what's going on in your surroundings. Mm-hmm. And you said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through the pulling down of strongholds, and the kingdom of God suffereth violence,
yes.
and the violent take it back by force.
Yes.
So how are you going to be able to take it back by force when you sleep? When you don't know what is going on around you, when you don't know how to fortify yourself against, and all of this is the tactics of the enemy. The enemy's screaming loud right now.
Right.
Because he's being exposed. And when a darkness does not like light, and I told somebody, when light enters, darkness has to relinquish its position. And
I stay on
that, but they cannot stay. And so the scriptures that I came across in Romans 13:11 says, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come that you wake from sleep.
Preach.
For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believe. We've got wickedness in high places we need to beam in, Scotty. We need to put the high beams on because we need to see what they're working with because many of them are being led captive. Many of them are in prison in their minds because they refuse to face reality. And reality causes you to have your strategic plan and what spiritual warfare you're going to entertain. Come on here.
In other words, the Apostle Paul said, you better get woke.
That's
what just
happened. Okay. And you know, and he was at Nehemiah when they threatened Nehemiah and they told him because they didn't want him to build the wall. Guess what? He was building with one hand and had a sword in another.
He did.
That's my cousin. He had a sword in the other. When people let you know who they're about, that's because you became aware. When God addresses the church, he does not want you ignorant. He does not want you to. Some people can be so heavenly minded, no earthly good. They get their head in a cloud or stuck in the sand and not realizing the surroundings around them. We have wars and rumors of wars that are happening.
Right.
You cannot sit there because Revelation is very, very plain. And it tells us exactly what's going on. That is a book that is a prophetic book. That
book
is prophetic. Mm-hmm. It tells you the entities and the things that are getting ready and have started already that is going on. If you did not know the word of God, you would not be aware. You would not be awakened to your surroundings. And when you awaken, you fortify yourself for these things. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Survival mode kicks in. How are you going to walk into a place where they got guns? Like I said, shoot, and you're going to walk in and say, oh, I didn't know. No, because God warns all of his children.
Right. He calls us friends.
It's up to you to accept it or reject it. Now, you can walk in there if you're blind, but don't tempt the Lord because he already told you what was up. So my thing is God wants, and I have one more scripture. It says, and this is 1 Thessalonians 5:6. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. That's exactly what it means. It doesn't mean you just go in there and act a fool because you're awake now, okay?
So the apostle like Paul said again, be woke.
That's what he said. That's right. What he said. And so just like these politicians, they starting to act a fool now. And the reason why I say they're acting a fool because we woke now, okay?
Right.
We're no longer sleeping anymore now. So you cannot run that okey-doke like you used to, okay? Baby, I know my value. I know my worth. I know right from wrong. So sit down and get right.
That's right.
That's totally different from what Mike was talking about, somebody embracing, say, the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, that's true.
That goes back to the parable that Jesus said. When good seed was sown by the farmer, and then an enemy came in and sowed some tares, or we might say weeds, in the soil. And so the servant said, well, master, should we go and pull up the weeds? And he said, no, because if you do that, then you're going to also mess up the good seed. So you let the wheat and the tares grow together, and I'm going to do the separating.
Come on.
In other words, it is not for us to go out and be judge and jury against people with alternative lifestyles. They get to live their lives just like we do. The Lord's going to send rain on the crop. The Lord's going to let the sun shine on the crop. And in the end, he will do the separating. Now, for us, our job is to obey the command of Jesus and go out into the world to make disciples of all men. Now, this is the tricky thing, because God already has done the choosing. He knows who's going to believe in him, and he's chosen those people back. So he really don't need to send us, because he already knows who the people are. We don't.
That's it.
Everybody gets an opportunity. Everybody gets at least one shot to hear the gospel of God, because we are left in the dark about who will and who will not believe. But everybody gets a seed planted within them. Now, whether or not that seed falls on good ground is not my business. But my business is to be about my Father's business of spreading the gospel, even to the folks who want to cross dress, even to the people who want to have a complete sex change, even to the people who think it's okay to marry somebody of the same sex or shack up with somebody of the same sex. That's not my business. My business is to still love them, because my God tells me to love them. I shouldn't discriminate against them. I shouldn't throw stones at them. I shouldn't deny them the right to get a job. I shouldn't deny them the right to buy food and clothing. All of that is not of our Lord and Savior. He is the God who loves all of us, and we should extend that love to everybody, whether they practice our faith or not.
Amen.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of your own happiness. I'm all for that.
That's right.
But when they're taking words, and I want to be really clear about this, because I know I upset William. But
no, I'm not so upset. This is a healthy dialogue. Go on, please.
Okay. I understand the proper definition of the term woke. What I have a problem with is people changing that word to mean other things and enforcing it down my throat, that I have to accept things that I don't think are within Christian values or within the parameters of right versus wrong.
But you have to give an example of that. You have to give an example of what.
Yeah, because I have no idea. I'm with Reverend.
The example I gave is people were going to tell me that I'm not woke unless I accept drag show schools shows in elementary schools.
They're not saying that. They are not saying that.
Yeah,
that's not what we mean.
I know that's not what you mean, and I know the proper definition of the word, but I'm saying it's being misinterpreted and misused, and being used as a club or a rock against people's heads, because they won't accept. And again, I'm going back to this and the Dylan Mulvaney stuff and this caricature of wild, crazy stuff that he/she is doing, and I'm being told. By media, which we don't care much about media, I'm being told that I have to accept this or I'm not woke. Well, that's BS.
That's what
I'm very aware. Situation awareness. I'm very awake, and I understand good versus evil and all of this stuff. But it's the word itself is being misinterpreted and yes, bastardized and is being meant to mean something else. So I just wanted to clear this up. I don't want any of you guys mad at me.
No, we're not mad at you, but that's a tactic that the enemy has been using since the Garden of Eden.
Thank you.
Right.
He's done it over and over and over again. He even tried to pull that same crap on Jesus in the wilderness when he was fasting, and Jesus is the Word of God. So that's just from his playbook.
Right.
It's one of the weapons that he uses. He didn't have any new tricks, and he uses his children because, and I say they're his because Jesus said there will be people who say, "Well, Lord, we prophesied in your name," and Jesus gonna say, "I made you, but I don't know you." So you are of your father, the devil. So the devil's children follow his playbook. They do what their daddy does. And that is take the word and twist it for their own means. They do that. The Supreme Court just did that in the affirmative action case. They tried to call affirmative action racist. Come on now. That is the type of foolishness that you get from them. So that doesn't surprise me, Mike, now that you explained it that way. That is that's demonic warfare 101. Yeah. Let's just that way.
Right. Because, hey, Mike, and something else. And we're going to, this is a perfect segue into a person on this panel that is woke, and he did the right thing. And I'm talking about Mike Ward. And this is going back to Mike. I want Mike to tell this story. He was in high school. And I hope we have time to play this clip too coming up. But Mike was, in high school. And if I understand correctly, Mike had, it was about five of them, good friends. There was two white guys, two Mexican, and one black guy. And this is the pure definition of woke, being awake, because you stood up in a situation and you put yourself in a situation that you could have gotten arrested. Wow. Continue, Mike.
I just want to make sure we have time to play your clip.
We'll take time.
We'll have time. Okay, I'll try not to belabor things. William and I had one of our marathon conversations yesterday, which is always very enlightening. It makes me feel good, and I hope it makes William feel good too, because we talk about all this stuff on a very personal level, and we don't hold back. But for some reason, this came up. I was working at the Red Baron Steakhouse. I was a busboy at the time. And Red Baron Steakhouses were all on airports, and they were kind of like a cask and cleaver, but they were all aeronautical themes. So anyway, the whole kitchen crew and the busboys, we all went to high school together. We just had a great time together. We'd do everything together. Mm-hmm. And so one night after we got off ship, there was something called, gosh, what was the name of it? It was like a Denny's. Mm-hmm. Alfie's. It was called Alfie's up there near Port Hueneme. And we got off a shift from the Red Baron Steakhouse at 11 at night or whatever it was. And it was Friday night or Saturday night. And so we all hopped into my Camaro and we're going down to Alfie's. We're going to have some breakfast. And we're in that 17, 18 bracket age wise. Mm-hmm. And, Wayne Lilly, was in the front seat and Ed Soria was in the back seat with Clark Childs and can't remember who the other person was, but they were Hispanic. And we're driving down Gonzales Road, and it's late at night, and there's a cop, Oxnard cop's got a guy pulled over on the side of the road. Well, it was a summer night. The windows are all down, and we're just kids. And they're all screaming at each other, and I'm trying to drive. And of course, there's, like, no drinking going on. We're just being stupid kids, right?
Right.
Well, they're yelling at each other. I think Ed was yelling at Wayne, who's in the other front seat. And as we passed the cop, they were yelling at each other. So we pull into the Alfie's parking lot there, and here comes the police car. To give you further background, Wayne and I are white. Mm-hmm. Clark is black, and he is the definition. If you drew a stick figure, that was Clark. He was just this tiny guy, and then Ed Soria. All of us were athletes except Clark. But we're all very good friends. We'd go to each other's homes for dinner. We called their parents mom and dad. Right. It didn't matter who you were. It was mom and dad out of respect for the parents.
Right.
So the police guy, he pulls us over, or he doesn't actually pull us over. He pulls in right behind us as we're getting out of the car. And he starts hollering, "Hey, I need some ID right now. ID, give me your ID." Mm. We're like, I wasn't speeding. I know that for sure. We give him ID. and he looks at everybody's ID, and he says, "I really don't appreciate you yelling stuff like that out the car window at me as I'm trying to do my job." And we're all like dumbfounded because like what? And we all kind of collectively said, "What are you talking about? We didn't yell. We were yelling at each other. You know, they were arguing about whatever stupid thing they were arguing about." And he goes, "No, I heard what you said." So I, from my mom and dad being World War II vets, and I was like, "Well, what did we yell?" He says, "Well, I don't know, but you were yelling something that was derogatory." And they go, "We weren't yelling anything derogatory at you. We were screaming at each other. We were joking around with each other." Hello?
So and you can't like, even tell me what it is that's gotten you so upset. Really?
Exactly. Now keep in mind, my dad was retired out of the Army as a colonel. My mom fought with an artillery crew out of Great Britain because some of the women in Great Britain actually were in fighting roles, and that's how they met in France, but that's a whole other story. So I had artillery fighting mom was my mother, and I had Colonel Ward is my dad, and my mother worked for a very large law firm in Ventura County called Fraser, Dane, Burrell, and Doherty, and a massive law firm where she was referred to as Mother Ward because she ran all the secretaries and took care of the attorneys in the building, and she would scold them on a regular basis to speak the English language as it was meant to be spoken. My mom was something else. So, you know, I come from a really good, well-rounded background, and I'm very, very fortunate to have had that and to grow up in a city that Oxnard was a farm community. Strawberries was their big deal. So our high school was very diverse, and there wasn't a whole lot of racism going on. We just didn't look at each other that way. So giving some background. So now this officer, after he scolds us for yelling at him, which we didn't do, he starts handing back everybody's ID. He goes, "Okay, Mr. Ward, Mr. Childs, Mr. Soria, whoever the other one was," and then he walks to Clark, who's the tiny. Clark was probably 110 pounds.
Wow.
You know, probably 5'9", 110 pounds. I mean, he literally was just a stick figure, but funny as could be.
Wow.
And he goes back and he starts to hand Clark his ID, and he goes, "And you listen to me." And he starts gnarling on. Now, we're all in the same car together.
Right.
And this officer believed, and I do believe the officer thought we yelled at him. I believe that he believed that. But I knew better. I was driving the damn car.
Right.
And he starts gnarling. Now, he's handed everyone their ID back, and he goes to hand Clark's back, and he starts gnarling all over him about, "You need to this, and you need to learn some respect, and you do." And the officer says, now you guys get out of here. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "Hey, wait a minute." And the officer spins on his heels, and he looks at me, and he goes, "What?" And I go, "I don't like the way you talk to my friend."
I know, right?
Now, I'm a senior in high school, so I'm not that well-versed in the world. But I know wrong when I see wrong.
Exactly.
I know hatred when I see hatred. And I said, "I don't like the way you text my friend." And he pauses for a second, and he goes, "You've got 3 seconds, or you're going to jail."
What? For what?
And I started to form the words, 1, 2, 3.
No, you were just a smarty pants. That's what you were.
Oh, yeah. Well, I still am. I still have it in my genes, my genetics. I'm still a wise ass. But I was going to count. I started to count those words, and Ed Soria, who was a football player, he picks me up on one side, and Wayne Lilly picks me up on the other side, and they spun me around, and they carried my tail off into Alfie's to go get breakfast. Wow. And I'll tell you what, that was probably my first really major experience with racism. And William asked the question. He said, "Well," he says, if you had gone to the department and made a complaint, that I bet he would have been fired tomorrow." And my response to William was, "Nah," because the whole department was, the whole department was that way, that mindset. Now, this is it. This would have been 1973.
But that's the thing, Mike. They don't want more incidents like that. They don't want more of you. That's the world that's untenable. They don't want people to see, "Oh, that is racist behavior." you need to stop it. We don't want to perpetuate that.
Well, I was willing to go to jail, and my both my parents, again, being very not controlling, but being good, just being good parents. Right. They always told me, hey, if you get yourself into trouble and you get yourself thrown in jail, you better get comfortable because you're going to be there for a while. So I didn't take it lightly that I was willing to like count 1, 2, 3 for this officer in case he couldn't do it himself.
Right.
I was willing to do that because I knew once I was able to talk to my parents and my mother, I've said this many, many times, brilliant lady. But she always told us three kids, I have an older brother, older sister, she would always say, trash comes in all colors.
Right.
And as I grew up and became an adult and expanded my horizons and my knowledge, I also understood the reverse of that to mean, if trash comes in all colors, so does good.
Amen, amen. And I wanted Mike to tell that story because, to me, it was something I said, we need to share this on air. And Mike, that's the definition of being woke. That's the real definition. And I'm so proud of you. And and you didn't tell me this story. Now, Mike and I, we've been friends going on 12 years, maybe. I don't know how many, too many to count. But, you know, we've been great, great friends since then. And Mike, I had the opportunity of picking. Now, you know, in my industry, with the financial services industry, being a broker and things of that, retirement specialist, investment specialist, and things of that nature, Mike had several choices. As a matter of fact, we met for an entire year. We met for an entire year, and we sure did. And Mike had interviewed a lot of different brokers, and I would take a stab at this. Most of them didn't look like me. Okay, I'm gonna take a stab at that.
I'm pretty sure they didn't either,
no,
William.
No. But you know what?
You're one of a kind.
But Mike chose me.
And the guy from Chase Bank, who was like a real high pressure guy that my brother was dealing with Chase in Florida and I was dealing with Chase here in California because we were both looking at the same investments. And William was actually kind enough to meet with me and the guy from Chase at one point. And I don't know if we told this story or not, but this guy was really overpowering when it came to this guy from Chase because William knew his stuff.
Wow.
And this guy from Chase kept trying to convince me, oh, no, you look over here. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. And William was making really good sense. He was like, well, if you do this, you get this bonus and this and this, and this contributes to everything from here on out. And the guy from Chase didn't really have a counteroffer. He's like, well, you know, Chase Bank, we're the biggest in this thing. And at one point, I said, well, let me step outside. William's got to go or whatever it was. And he said, okay, Willie, nice meeting you, Willie.
No, he said, goodbye, Willie.
Is that what it was?
That's exactly what he said. And I bit my lip, guys. I bit my lip.
You did?
No, I did. Because guess what?
You're being professional.
Because if I acted the way he did, neither one of us would have gotten Mike's business.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And then William and I walked outside, and I told William right off the bat, I go, that was as disrespectful as you can get, and he's never going to get my business.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep,
wow.
Sure did. That's a true story.
I'd have shook him to the pee.
You know what? You're a violent pastor.
What did Dr. Demery say?
A violent pastor.
He said he would have shook him till he peed. That's what he said.
Wow.
You know what I said? I said, Demery's a violent pastor. I need to come join his church.
Let me
stop.
Oh, hey, guys, we got a few minutes. Let me play this clip before we go. I promise this. This is one. Hey, guys, can you hang on just a couple of minutes over? We're going a few minutes over, okay? I hope you guys just hang with us. I'm not going to keep you too long, but I've got to share this with you. Mike and I, you guys, if you miss Mad Mike and Wild Wheel Coast to Coast on Thursdays right after Miss CeCe's Kitchen, you are missing a treat.
Like that.
Say what?
Were you being nice?
I'm always nice.
Say it like that. That attitude.
She said you didn't have to say it like that.
Say it like that. Right after Miss CeCe's Kitchen. Look.
Yeah, she got a, with Miss CeCe's Kitchen, a brilliant, brilliant broadcast. Okay, Miss CeCe.
All right, suck up to me. Come on.
And while Dr. Sims is like, while Dr. Sims is fanning herself, I want to know which one of you set the air conditioner up to hell.
I think that was the whole planet.
That would be me. Yeah. Okay, guys. And look, let me do this, okay? All right. This one, Mike and I, we talked about this. This is Luke Combs, which is a rising and successful country star.
Oh, and he did a cover.
I think I sent you that clip. I'm not sure whether I sent it to Danny or Dr. Demery or Dr. Sim. Okay, but anyway, yes. You get a chance to hear it, right? Luke Combs did this cover by Tracy Chapman called Fast Car. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave it right there. And what we're going to do, we're going to talk about this a little bit right after that.